Good morning. One quick admin note, I do not have a PowerPoint this morning. I have notes here. So if you have any questions, I will go through all of the passages, all the scripture I have. But if you have any questions at the end or would like to know, you know, if you miss anything, just let me know and I'll be sure to get that for you. But if you'd like to go ahead and open up to the book of John, chapters 15 and 16, that's where a majority of our lesson will come from this morning. John chapters 15 and 16. But before we get there, I want to tell you about a Saturday in early June that we dealt with. I woke up kind of like any other day, and you know, we were looking forward to our plans for the weekend until I got a call from my mom letting me know that my grandmother had died. And we called her Meemaw. This was my mom's mom, and she was very important to us. She was the one who, when we were kids growing up, she took us to church Sunday and Wednesday, like clockwork. She was the one who took us to wrestling tournaments all over the state of Florida. She took us to wrestling tournaments around the country. And sometimes I think about that, you know, these are things that a lot of times you might do with your parents, and this is not to say my parents were fantastic, but my grandmother just really stepped in and took a lot of that burden off of them, and we spent a lot of time with her. As we got older and we moved away, we joined the Marine Corps, or we went to college and then joined the Marine Corps, got married, had our own families. Mima always took the time to make sure that she had this concept she called a call anytime card, and she would always say, hey, you know you can call me anytime, and she meant it. I mean, I called her at 2 in the morning. I've called her at 10 o'clock at night. I called her at, you know, middle of the day, lunchtime. For periods of time there, I was in Japan with a 13-hour, sometimes 14-hour difference. And it didn't matter when I called her. At a time that was convenient for me, inconvenient for her, she'd always answer. She always had something to say, someone to listen to, and just was a very important part of our lives. And so needless to say, the loss of her, when I found that out, was devastating. And I'll tell you the truth, it still weighs on me. Today it's been 3 months and it still hurts. You know, sometimes I'm just driving home from work. The times I would have called her, I think, man, I got to tell her that. And I have to, you know, in those moments, I have to remember, hey, I can't do that anymore. And so there's been this internal struggle to kind of reckon with her death, to understand that I'm unable to see her, unable to talk to her anymore, at least in this life, to be able to hear any of her advice and wisdom that she has. And most of all, I certainly miss her unconditional love, her support for my family and I. She was a very strong source of comfort when Andrew was in the hospital and we were going through all of those trials a few years ago. And so that Saturday, the rest of that day, and into Sunday morning, I'll be honest, I really struggled with whether or not I was going to get up and be here that morning. It just, I didn't know if I could get through it. And ultimately, we did. We got up, we loaded the car, and we made it here. Because I guess the understanding that I came to and the reason behind that was very simple. You know, if it means anything to be a follower of Christ, and if it means anything to worship God in spirit and truth, and if it means anything to remember what Jesus did for us, like we do in the Lord's Supper every Sunday, then it especially means something in times like this. And I know what it feels like to lose somebody that's so close and that plays such an important role in my life. I know what it feels like for those moments when you think you're just never going to be joyful again, and things are just, they're just not looking good. And so when I say times like this, what I mean are the trials that we're guaranteed to face as Christians. Because try as we might, we will not in this life escape those trials. We will not escape the consequences of sin. Sin tempts us and it hurts us. It causes rifts between us as brothers and sisters, and more importantly, it separates us from God. But when we face difficult and emotional times, we do have resources available to us. And this was the message that Jesus had for his disciples, that he at a certain point in his ministry had to start preparing them that he was going to leave them. He was going to leave them behind because he had more important work to do that he had to do. He had to accomplish it. And so that's what we're going to look at in John chapter 15 and 16 this morning. But the first verse that I'll get to is at the end of chapter 16 and verse 33. Jesus says, "These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And so this morning, what I want to review are these things. What, when he says, "These things I've spoken to you," what is he saying? What are these things that he spoke to them? And the goal here is that we might be able to find peace, just like he was trying to instill in the disciples, that we might be able to find peace in Christ in even the most difficult and challenging times that we face. And so the first thing that he says in chapter 15, verse 4, is to abide in him. He says in verse 4, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me." And he tells them in verse 5 that as long as they continue to be faithful to him, as long as they continue to remember his teachings and what he left them with, that they will continue to bear fruit and they'll remain faithful in him. But he warns them in verse 6 that unproductive branches, the branches that aren't bearing fruit after he leaves, they will be cut away, they will be discarded, and they will be burned. You know, some of you probably know, maybe have seen it. Katia has spent a lot of time building a garden at our house. And, you know, I help a little bit with it, not too much. But I really enjoy going out there and helping harvest the fruits and the vegetables that we grow out there. And, you know, I was nervous at first because I was afraid that, you know, if I pulled something off the wrong way, I might break the plant and it's not going to produce anymore. But over time, I learned how to do that the right way. I kind of figured out, you know, the valuable lesson there is as long as I don't break one of those branches off that central stem, as long as I don't rip something there, you know, I can pull a few leaves off or something, get a little rough with it. But it'll still continue to grow fruit, right? It could still continue to grow peppers or eggplant or whatever else we have growing out there. But occasionally we notice that there are branches that just, they're either producing nothing or they produce very, maybe small, tiny fruits. And so we do cut those off and we throw them over the fence because overall this just makes for a healthier plant. When you get rid of those things, then the branches that remain behind, they grow more and they grow bigger fruit and they're more productive. And so what Jesus wants them to understand is that even in his absence, that the disciples, they must remain faithful to what he taught them. They must continue to hold on to those lessons. They must remain connected to him if they're to remain productive, even when they're grieving that he's left them behind, right? They must remain faithful. And they cannot stop working just because he's gone. Just because he leaves them behind does not give them an excuse to sit down and say, well, there goes everything. We don't have anything worth getting up and fighting for today. And so the second thing that he tells them will be in verse 12 for this. If you go down a little bit further, John chapter 15, verse 12, he tells them to love each other. He says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And he hammers this point home again in verse 15. He says, "This I command you, that you love one another." He really makes this point to them over and over. I think because we need to understand. And what he wants them to understand is that love is of paramount importance in your challenging times, in the most difficult times, because though he is leaving them, he's not leaving them alone. He's leaving them with each other. He has brought them together over these years. And so just because he leaves them behind, they still have each other to their left and their right to support and to go through life with and to get through this challenge with. And Paul writes, you know, another important of love. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he says that love bears all things and it believes all things. It hopes all things and it endures all things. And that overall, it's so powerful at binding us together because love never fails. If we have love, if the disciples have love and they remain together, then they cannot fail in their mission. And so just as Jesus instructed them to remain connected to himself, he's instructing them to remain connected and to love each other and to stay together, even after his departure. The third thing that he tells them, this will be in chapter 15, verse 26 and 27, he promises them the Holy Spirit. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will testify about me, and you will also testify because you have been with me from the beginning." You know, we've done a lot of studies here, certainly in the time I've been here, that we understand that the Spirit is responsible for several things. The Spirit here, Jesus refers to the Spirit as both a helper and the Spirit of truth. This means that the Spirit is going to provide them support in their continued work, but it's also going to ensure that they remain firm in the truth, that they're not going to stray into false teachings, that they're going to be able to know what is from God and what is not. We know that the Holy Spirit dwells within us. We know that the Holy Spirit is responsible for the good fruits that we bear, and if we walk in the Spirit, that we will bear good fruit. We will not bear bad fruit because we have the Spirit within us leading us, guiding us. And the last thing, we also know that the Spirit intercedes for us in our prayers to God. So we understand just how powerful the promise of the Holy Spirit is for Jesus' disciples. Now, they may not have understood that in the moment because they hadn't experienced it yet. But this was Jesus' promise to them that he has to go. And the reason he has to go is so that once he's gone, he can send them the Spirit. And then so we see how important the Spirit is to guiding them through the challenge of Christ's death and the difficult times ahead when they don't physically have him there in their presence. The last thing that he says, the last one that I'll point out to you, this will be down in chapter 16, verse 16. He promises them that their grief will assuredly turn to joy because he will return. He says in verse 16, a little while and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while and you will see me. And if we go down into verse 17, we get an idea that the disciples, they still don't understand. They're saying, well, he's speaking to us figuratively. Eventually they start to get it. But right now they don't really understand, what does he mean by this? They don't understand that Jesus is leaving them and how he's leaving them, that he's going to go and be put on a cross and sentenced to death. They don't yet understand that he's got to leave and what it means when he returns to them, what it means not only for them, but for the rest of the world. But Jesus compares this grief and what he says they're going to face in verse 21. He compares it to a woman who's in labor, right? He talks about the pain of labor giving way to the joy that a woman feels after the labor ends and the child arrives. I'll tell you that years ago, we did that for the first time when Katia was in labor with Jack. I don't know, she'd probably be able to tell you, but if I remember correctly, man, it seemed like we were in there for days. I was probably about 15 hours or so, but it definitely the longest labor we went through with all of our children. And it's the first time we had ever done it, and we were scared. And at one point, you know, I even made the rookie mistake of giving her my left hand, wearing my wedding ring, and I didn't know she could squeeze that hard, and I thought she was going to break my finger, I'll be honest. And, you know, at one point, she looked at me as well and said, Eddie, we're not doing this again, right? Like, this isn't going to happen again. And so, but eventually, you know, like Jesus points out here, eventually we got over it. It was probably a year or so, but we got over the labor. I got over my almost broken finger. I made sure the next three times to only give her my right hand or to put my wedding ring in my pocket, right? Pro tip. You know, what he wants them to understand, though, is that they will grieve. They're going to grieve. They're going to be sad at the loss of their Savior. But I want to also understand that these disciples, they lived with him. They looked at him and understood him for who he was, but he was also their friend. Like anybody that we're here with this morning, they walked with him, they talked with him, they lived with him, right? They traveled with him for years. This was their friend. He was also their hope for the future. They left everything they had to follow him. They left everything behind. So, of course, he understands they're going to be grieving. Well, what did I do that for? I left everything. I left my family. I left my job. I left everything I had behind. I've been following him around, and now he's leaving us. You know, that's going to create some grief in and of itself as well. The questioning about why did I do any of that? And so his point is that their grief, though, no matter how painful it feels in that moment, that it's only temporary. It's only temporary, and it will be followed by the peace and joy that his resurrection will bring, not only to them, but to the entire world. So how do we apply this lesson, these lessons that Jesus left for his disciples, because this, I mean, imagine just the most challenging, difficult times they've ever had. They've been following him around. They've put all of their hope and faith in him, and now he's gonna leave. How challenging that must be. And so how do we make application of these lessons in our lives when we're facing struggles, when we're facing challenges? Well, there's a few things. I think we do all of the same thing, that just as Jesus instructed his disciples, the first thing we do is we abide in him. We abide in Jesus. We remain faithful no matter how bad life seems to get. I know that's easier said than done. When Jesus was arrested, you know, we see the disciples, these same disciples we were just talking about, they all scatter when he's arrested. At one point, Peter even denies Jesus three times. They don't want to have anything to do with it at that moment, even though they've walked with him, they've lived with him, they've watched his miracles firsthand, but now they've been so easily in that moment scattered away, and their faith starts to waver. But even though their faith, even though Peter's faith wavered for those moments, God still used Peter. He used him to lead the church. He used him to shepherd the flock. He used all the disciples even after that, right? So we may have momentary lapses like Peter or like the other disciples, but forgiveness is available for those who ask. So we have to abide in Jesus. We have to remain faithful. We have to consider whether or not our faith is wavering at some moment in time so that we can reconcile that with God and stay strong. And the second thing he says is to love each other. Well, for us, that means love each other. Take an active role in caring for the people that you see here with you this morning. Look around you. This is who's here. Who else will love them? That would be the question I would ask. Ask yourself, who else will love everyone in here? Because when Jesus told his disciples to love each other in chapter 15, right after that, he follows it up by giving them a warning. The world will hate you. The world will hate all of them. The world will hate Jesus's followers. And for a simple reason. They hate Christians because they first hated Christ, and they hate Christ because he shines a light on their sin. He shined a light on our sin at some point in our lives, and we reconciled with that, and we accepted it, and we came to him. Right? So we need to understand that outside of the church, there is no love for Christians. Not true love, right? We may walk around and we may think we experience kindness, and this is not to disparage anybody out there, but who can you really trust? Do you really know them when things get bad? But you know that in Christian brothers and sisters, you have love and you have to give love and you have to receive love because that's what keeps us together. So look around. These are the people that God has given you to love. And while doing so, you can bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruits of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. We use those gifts, we use those fruits, and we use the talents that we're blessed with by the Spirit to serve others and to serve the church. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul taught our spiritual gifts are useful to equip the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. We are given the talents that we're given, but what are we using them for? If I don't use my talents to edify others and to build up the church, then they're not really of use, right? They're not really being used for their full purpose. So use your gifts to strengthen your brothers and sisters and thereby glorify God. The Holy Spirit also, we talked about this already, but he also allows us to communicate our pain and our desires to God. And we're told that he will speak on our behalf. I'll tell you, you know, I work in the IT field, for those of you who don't know, in the Marine Corps. And so, you know, there's a lot of things I just don't know. I've been doing it for a while, but it's still a lot of things I don't know. And oftentimes when I'm on the phone with somebody trying to troubleshoot a problem, I'll just say something like, hey, listen, I don't know what I don't know about this, right? I need you to kind of help walk me through it. I might have to talk to three or four people before I can make sense of it. But sometimes we just don't know what we don't know. We don't know what we need. We don't know what to do right. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So when we have the Spirit abiding in us, even when we're in challenging times, we may not know what to ask for. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to do. I don't know what is the right thing to ask for. I don't know what is the wrong thing to ask for. I just want to know how to get through it, God. Then pray. We pray and we trust that the Spirit will intercede for us. The Spirit will get the message to God and that He will answer our prayers. So rely on the spiritual connection that God has gifted you. The last thing I would say is be confident. And this confidence is that your pain and your grief, that all your trials in this world, that they're confined to this world. They will not go with you beyond this world. They will stay here. I remember growing up wrestling, you know, this is, I don't see it as much anymore at tournaments, but everybody used to wear this t-shirt running around on the back. They'd have their club name on the front and on the back. It would say, pain is only temporary. Victory lasts forever, right? Maybe like a wrestler on the back getting his hand raised. But the lesson there and the slogan there is that whatever you're going through right now, it might be painful right now, but there is something greater to come afterwards, right? I put in the time I put in now in wrestling. I struggle through practice and I put in the sweat and the blood and the tears here so that when I get out there, I can compete and I can win. Well, it's just like that in our Christian lives. We go through these struggles so that we can strengthen ourselves. God offers these challenges to us so that we can cling tighter to Him. I think overall, all of these things, all of these lessons are kind of summarized also by John, but in the book of 1 John, chapter 5, I'll read the first 5 verses of chapter 5. Whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and whoever loves the Father loves the child born of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and observe His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Jesus said, take courage, because He's overcome the world. And so those who belong to Christ, they don't have to feel discouraged in their grief. You don't have to feel discouraged in your trials. To those of us who are in Christ, our brothers and sisters in Christ, this is another IT saying that I'll give you. When we have struggles, when we have grief, when we have temptations, we say, this is a feature. It's not a bug. It's a feature, right? Sometimes we deal with folks, they don't like the way that something has been engineered or the way something's been built. Well, sometimes that's how it is. Right? This is how it is. We're going to experience trials and we're going to experience grief and we're going to experience struggles. And for one simple reason, because they're opportunities to gain endurance. They're opportunities to strengthen our faith. They're opportunities to do something maybe that you haven't done before, to try something new, to pray and to grow. And I think these are the lessons that we take. So be comforted in the confidence that this, and when I say this, I mean anytime you're dealing with pain, anytime you're dealing with struggles, anytime you're dealing with trials, it's only temporary. It will not last. And also, know that you have brothers and sisters sitting here with you this morning, right here next to you. You can look around and see them. They're here with you, and they're available for you to lean on. So to those who are convicted this morning to address any concerns that you may have or to pursue the peace that Christ offers, I would say to you, please don't depart from here without allowing us the opportunity to offer our love. And we offer our love to you for one simple reason, because Christ loved us first. He did it first, and so we offer that to each other. If that is your thoughts this morning, if you have anything that you would like to bring, then I will tell you that we can speak with you privately, but you can also come up here this morning in front of the church while we sing the song of invitation. Please stand.